take the case under advisement. We move to the third case today, United States versus Schiffler. Schiffler. Mr. Kelly.
Good morning. May it please the court, I represent James Schleifer in this challenge to his sentence. There is no real dispute that the district court treated the sentencing guidelines as binding when it sentenced Mr. Schleifer. The court accepted the government's argument that the only guideline facts that it needed to decide pertained to Schleifer's criminal history, and that this court's decision in Booker did not apply to those factual determinations. The court therefore imposed a sentence pursuant to the federal sentencing guidelines. Essentially, it sentenced Schleifer pursuant to 3553B. But that's the statute that the Supreme Court in Booker severed and excised and essentially nullified. So Mr. Schleifer was sentenced pursuant to a statutory provision that no longer exists. That makes his sentence illegal, and I think the real question here is, what is the remedy for that illegal sentence? Section 3742F tells us that the remedy for an illegal sentence is to remand for further sentencing proceedings, and I think a remand for a new sentencing hearing is the appropriate remedy in this case. I think it would be inappropriate in this case to remand, to do a limited remand in order to ask the judge, would you have given a different sentence, for a couple of reasons in this case. First of all, this isn't a plain error case, so to the extent that a limited remand may be appropriate under plain error review, this case isn't here on plain error review. The government has not suggested that the Booker issues were not properly raised and preserved in the district court. So I think that the appropriate remedy is to follow 3742F and simply do a remand for a resentencing. But a second reason that I think is important to understand is that the focus of the sentencing hearing in this case was on a legal issue, which was whether the judge could make the guideline findings that resulted in a decision that Mr. Schleifer was a career offender. When the judge ruled against Schleifer in that regard, it was obvious, at least to me, and I represented Schleifer, that any sentence that Schleifer received was going to be tied to the guidelines. It was going to be informed by the structure of the guidelines. And indeed, that's what happened. The judge determined what the guideline range was. She then rejected our departure motion. She granted the government's departure motion based on substantial assistance. She specifically said she was going down three levels, so obviously she was tying the sentence to the structure of the guidelines. That was her starting point. And given where she came out on the law, that's what we expected her to do. And so our argument was limited because of the fact that we knew if she was going to be starting out with the guideline as the starting point, that she wasn't going to depart very far down in terms of the number of levels, because that's what the court does. The district court, at least this particular district court, doesn't depart down very many levels when it is granting a departure. And so our sentencing argument wasn't focused on trying to get a sentence that was any lower than we thought that the judge was likely to give in light of the structure that was limiting her sentencing authority. If we had known, and if the court had known, that in fact it was free to give any sentence it wanted to give, we would have focused our sentencing argument much differently. We may have made a pitch for probation in Mr. Schleifer's case. But we didn't do that because we knew that the judge's sentencing authority, in light of her legal ruling, was going to be quite limited. What strikes me as unfair about a limited remand in a case like this is that how does the judge know if she would have sentenced differently when she didn't hear a fully informed sentencing presentation in light of all of her sentencing options?
Got a great argument, Mr. Kelly.
Well, I may be borrowing a part of it, Your Honor, and I don't mean to plagiarize, but
of course, it didn't prevail, though, did it?
Well, it didn't prevail in a case that was about plain error. This is not a case that's about plain error, and so I think that it's an argument that makes sense in this case, and that the remedy in this case, for those reasons, should simply be to remand for resentencing. And for the same reason, I guess I should say that I disagree with the government's position that any error here was harmless, because, again, we just don't know what the judge would have done if she had understood what the law is, or if any of us had understood what the law was at the time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gillen. Mr. Connell?
Good morning. My name is Paul Connell. I'm an assistant U.S. attorney in the Western District of Wisconsin, and I represent the United States below in the prosecution of Mr. Schleifer. There are essentially two issues here: whether the government has established that the mandatory application of the guidelines in this case was harmless error, and then secondly, if the court believes that error was not harmless, what is the appropriate remedy, a full remand or the limited remand in light of Friday's decision in Palladino. Very briefly, as set forth in our supplemental brief, the United States believes it is shown that the mandatory application of the guidelines was harmless error for three reasons. Upon granting the government's motion for a $5,000 departure for substantial assistance, the government or the district judge was free to use her discretion to give whatever sentence she thought was appropriate and go down as far as she wanted. She chose three levels and the bottom of the resulting guideline range.
But she'd been told that in fashioning a downward departure, she had to consider the structure of the guidelines, right?
That's correct, Your Honor. She also, chose to reject the defendant's motion for a downward departure, I think, which is some evidence that even if she knew that the guideline structure was merely advisory, she would have given roughly the same sentence or the
but
same
that's
sentence.
A different, we're in a different situation than Palladino. Because it's not a plain error case.
That's right. However, Your Honor, Palladino, the court is following Crosby, and Crosby, the Second Circuit, is doing this limited look-back remand in harmless error and plain error cases. Let me turn then to the appropriate remedy. Very briefly, it's kind of a changed landscape in light of Palladino on Friday. As I said, since this court has chosen to follow the Second Circuit's process, sort of, in Crosby, the Second Circuit has decided to order the district judges to look at and answer whether they would resentence in both harmless error and plain error cases. We're under harmless error here, and the United States respectfully submits that the limited remand would be the way to go here. And unless there are further questions from the panel, that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't have much to add. Let me just suggest that it's true that the district court rejected our motion for a downward departure, but the language that the court used, again, was informed by the guidelines. She said that the information we presented didn't take Mr. Schleifer's case outside of the heartland of methamphetamine cases. Had she known that she wasn't required to follow the guidelines and didn't have to view it as a departure, but simply could give a lower sentence because she thought it was the right thing to do, she may have found our arguments more persuasive and may have given a lower sentence. And that's why I think it's impossible in this case to say that the sentence that was imposed was harmless error. Thank you.
Thanks again to both counsel. The court will take the case.